Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello everyone and welcome back to a brand new podcast. Yes, today we return with a more knowing wheel. As always, I'm joined by a freshly, not quite, university graduated, Jamie183. Have you passed your studies in Formula One history?
Well, we were just debating before this, but I think I have. So, yes. But no, my exams are all good, so I'm happy. Free forever. No more
good,
studies.
Good. Yes, yeah. This one... it's going to be a bit of a rushed episode. Jamie's going out tonight partying because he's finished uni.
It's not true.
No, it's not true. He's actually going down to the swimming pool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A thought that you all wanted to have.
Exactly. Yep. Jamie in his Speedos. I've been out all day as well, so I'm very, very tired. You can probably already tell just looking at me. If you're watching this on YouTube, hello.
Go on Spotify instead, I reckon.
I know we say this most weeks, but if you don't want to look at this tired face, definitely would recommend checking out Spotify. The reason why I'm tired will all be explained very, very soon. So if you're not already, please do get yourself subscribed for more content like that. But as always, links as well are down in the description. You know, if you want to go check out F1 merch, Manscaped, Bybit as well. What else is there, Jamie? I know I'm forgetting
some. We've already said Spotify, but that, yeah, do it anyway.
Spotify, yep, as well, of course. A massive thank you to all of you guys for the continued support over there. And I just want to quickly say as well, before we jump into this, we've now hit 48,000 subscribers. Less than 2,000 to go. Can we hit 50,000 before F1 2022 releases?
I reckon by this time next week.
Not quite this time next week. That's wildly optimistic, but a boy can dream. But though, yep, we're back today, ready to discuss the Monaco Grand Prix. Timestamps will be linked down below. Like we said, it's going to be a fairly speedy episode because we're both either tired or busy today. but the things we do are to get the podcast out as well. So, Jamie, let's get into it then. Nothing really happened pre-weekend, was there? Of course, all the conversations just about how Charles Leclerc is going to throw away a Monaco win.
Yeah, there wasn't much going on really, other than, yeah, as you say, he's never finished a home race. I saw a massively sped up short from you explaining.
You
all of this
certainly
bad
did.
Luck.
115% speed.
And it was
on
horrendously
that
cut up as well. But
it was horrendously cut up because it was 59.59 seconds.
Nice. Well, yeah.
Had to cram it all in.
Leclerc was obviously going to crash, which everyone believed. Yeah, got straight into practice really on the Friday, which is the first time. Is it on a Friday? I think.
I thought last year was.
Maybe last year was as well. I don't really know. Can't remember. But either way. The only thing notable that happened on Friday practice was Ricciardo crashing again. Not again.
Yes.
He hasn't. Has he crashed? I guess he hasn't. Imola, that counts. Yeah. But yeah, not another. He runs the streets, don't forget. But not a great showing from Ricciardo again. And interestingly, Zak Brown has started actually criticising him, which is the first time it's happened, really.
I think not
a good sign.
There's more and more discussions, isn't there? You know, originally they were talking about contracts to the end of next year, wasn't it? But it's probably been the only thing that's sort of been touched upon between Spain and Monaco was, is Ricciardo actually going to stay at McLaren?
Yeah.
I mean, at the moment,
I think they're suddenly realising that they're probably paying him at least three times what Lando is on, I'd imagine.
It's probably less than... it was definitely about that last before Lando's long-term contract. Yeah. But
even so, they're not getting value for money at all with him. So it makes sense why they're thinking like that, especially with the agreement thing they've got with Alpine for Piastri. Like,
Lando and Piastri as a lineup, that would be good. I could get on that vibe.
Yeah, definitely. But there we go. He sorted himself out a little bit for the rest of the weekend, but as usual, was well off Lando. So, yeah, that was all that really happened on Friday. Ferraris were tentatively dominating, with Perez actually the closest Red Bull to them, which I found quite curious. But there we go.
Perez has always been a street track merchant.
People
forget this. Monaco 16, he got a podium.
Luckily, from Hulk was better and then got screwed.
Russia 14, he got a podium.
15.
Technically
yeah.
A street track. Was it 15, was it? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, he's had quite a few podiums on street circuits in the past. People just forget it.
Mm. Yeah, and obviously won Baku last year as
yes,
well. Although
yeah,
that
of course.
Was down to luck, basically.
Still did what he needed
He made Hamilton turn his magic on.
Yes, yeah, the magic that, yeah, not good. Speaking of, actually, Friday practice, Jim, I don't know if you saw, one of McLaren's engineers, Randy, I can never remember his surname. Did you see, I'm guessing he had an issue with his auto tweet, because he put up a tweet Sunday morning going, just a reminder, free practice is on Friday this year at Monaco.
I did not see that.
Yeah, they're like, well, that's great to tell us 2 days later.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a weird one, but there we go.
Yeah, yeah. Then, of course, as we often do in Formula 1, we jump into Saturday. And let's be fair, no Saturday is more important than the Monaco Grand Prix Saturday, because it pretty much guarantees you the win. Apart from this year, where it didn't, but we'll gloss over that in just a minute. Of course, Monaco, though, famous, you know, early on in the session, though, the first few laps are all about just trying to build up confidence, rubber in the circuit as well, of course. You know, I don't know if you... Did you watch the Formula 2 race as well?
I did, yeah, both of them.
It was good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But obviously, they've sort of helped put a little bit of rubber down. You know, you had Freca and Formula 3 as well, if I'm
And Porsche Super Cup, which I caught a bit of, which was stupid.
Why is Porsche Super Cup stupid?
Because it was in Monaco. It was funny, yeah? But it was like, why are there sports cars? Like, I guess why are there 4-1 cars going in Monaco, to be fair?
Why put any cars around Monaco anymore? I mean, to be fair, that would be right up at the top of my bucket list, would be in the Monaco tunnel whilst those Porsche Super Cup cars go through.
You would
through.
Be deaf after that.
You would be deaf immediately, but can you just imagine that as an experience? Would be incredible.
Mm.
Like, genuinely, I think the Porsche Super Cup cars rank so high in terms of my favourite cars in the world just because of how good they sound. Mm. Porsche know how to make a fantastic inline six with, of course, a straight cut exhaust.
I've got a lot to add to this pipe. Conversation.
You have. but yeah, anyway, get back in though to Q1. Like we said, obviously the track ramps up rather quickly, so it's sort of like just trying to find the time. And also waiting for who's going to bring out the red flag. Now, to be fair, most of the sessions were pretty good going throughout the entire weekend.
Mm.
Tsunoda brought out a red flag in Q1, though, which screwed quite a few people. And we're not really sure why. He definitely didn't need it.
I think I do know why. Because he hit the inside wall at the Novel, like, which pierced, or like, basically broke his brake disc cover.
Wheel cover.
Yeah, wheel cover. Yeah. And punctured his front left. I was going to say hubcap, but it's definitely not that.
No.
And then, yeah, that bit of debris that came off his car was on the circuit. It wasn't off the track. So to clear that under double yellows in qualifying would have been quite hard. So I understand.
There's no such thing as double yellows in qualifying, is there?
Well, yeah, especially not at Monaco at the end of Q1. Like, but yeah, I understand why they needed the red flag, but it was a bit unfortunate for such a small amount of debris. But
yes,
there you go.
Yeah. And the fact, of course, we're so not used to red flags coming out and every car still being in the running.
Yeah, no one
stopped.
Because,
of course, Tsunoda kind of got back to the pit, so I don't even mean he sort of realised he was the one that caused it. But really, that screwed two of Jamie's favourite drivers.
Lovely.
Which did make me laugh.
You know what, though? Before qualifying, I tried to swap Alonso to Gasly on Fantasy and couldn't afford it. So I got lucky there. But there we go. Zhou literally was crossing the line as the red flag came out.
Yep.
About to match Bottas, and that didn't count because the red flag came out. And then Gasly as well.
Gasly was even closer.
No, Gasly, that was at the end because they sent him out late and he couldn't get around in time.
Right,
so
sorry.
He was like 2 seconds from starting his lap and missed it because the checkered flag came out. So
it's tight margins, isn't it? It always is at Monaco, though. But
yeah,
no, that did make me chuckle, the fact that, I mean, what was it? Zhou Guan Yu was further away from Nicholas Latifi than the other Williams was from pole position in Q1. Which did make me chuckle.
But
three
we apply mitigating circumstances and it's all good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was always going to recover right up towards the front in the Grand Prix, wasn't he? Zhou Guan Yu, Pierre Gasly, both Williams, and of course Sir Lancelot out in Q1.
He was not happy as well.
No, Stroll was not happy.
He sounded like someone on Xbox game chat.
Yes, but it was similar to Seb last week, wasn't it? Aston Martin, you know, their drivers can do a pretty decent lap, but they just seem to lack that little bit of qualifying pace. I say that. Seb, of course, made it into Q3.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just where the field is so close still. You know, you feel like you can do a pretty good lap. You're a second off pole, and that's not good enough to get you into Q2, which I love.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting for the midfield to be that close packed. But Yeah, Stroll, not happy. He's never been that good at Monaco, unless I'm forgetting an obvious one. But I guess he's never really had the car for it either, to be fair. But
yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, unfortunate for Lance Stroll there. Then, of course, we jumped into Q2, and yeah, really nothing of any note sort of happened in Q2, did it, Jamie? Ricciardo, no. Both Haskars, Bottas and Tsunoda out in the second session. So, I mean, you would have been a fool. I can't imagine who would place a bet on both Alfa Romeos making it into Q3.
It was a free bet. It does not count. Both Alphas to Q3 for 33-1. Why not? And neither
because
of them
neither
there.
Of them made it.
And
that's
one of them was
20th. One of them was last 3 seconds off the pace. Yes. You know, Alfa Romeo had a strong car this weekend, apparently. So
well,
we were meant to believe.
Yeah, Spain Sector 3, they were like quickest of anyone. But there we go. Didn't work out.
Yeah. Then, of course, we jump into Q3. The best part of a Monaco Grand Prix weekend, Jamie, until, of course, someone red flags it.
Yeah, and it's always seems to be the same every year. Same at Baku as well. There's so many red flags just disjointing the session. But, yeah, first runs were fairly standard. I think it basically went as we expected. Leclerc pulled out a pretty good lap to go, I think, 2/10 clear of everyone else.
Yep, 2/10 clear with the other three pretty much all right
on
top
the same
of each
time.
Other.
But it was
yeah.
a Ferrari 1-2 with Red Bulls 3 and 4. And as well, Perez slightly ahead of Verstappen again.
Yes, again.
Basically the theme throughout the whole weekend.
Well, he was basically gaining a tenth at Sandevot, wasn't he?
Mm.
And
yeah.
that was it.
Yeah. And then, the rest of the order was as expected. I think nothing really too surprising. And then the last runs in Q3, which is supposedly the most intense time of the season. And before it's even got going, Perez has managed to do a really weird spin at the corner, which I've forgotten the name
Portier.
Of. Portier. Yes. And just clouted his rear wing of his Red Bull into the barrier there.
Did his best Senna impression.
Yeah. And then Sainz joins him for a bit of fun, even though his yellow flag's out. And he got away with it somehow, but fair play. So both of them had created a roadblock across the road. And obviously red flag's out and no one set any second laps. So that was the finishing order just from the first runs. But Perez crashing to stay ahead of Max. This time round, Max wasn't as annoyed as he was last year, which I'm glad about.
Well, last year he thought, you know, that was his big... Because at the time, obviously, you then go, well, Charles Leclerc's won the race.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, of course, for Max, he just thought that was it. The Monaco Grand Prix victory was going to have to wait another year.
Mm. Yeah, but Perez secured his third place by stop. Max actually had a... much better Sandevot as well, so I think he would have been probably second if he finished the lap, but
well,
never mind.
Did you hear what Binotto said about Leclerc's second run?
It was like perfect. He was like 2/10 up by the time
7/10.
It wasn't 7/10. I don't buy that.
No, they say by the end of sector 2 when the red flag came out, apparently they reckon Charles Leclerc was 7/10 up.
Well,
on his previous
I do not see that at all.
I mean, they might well have meant he would have been 7/10 up by the end
of
the
lap. Yeah, potentially.
But it was. I mean, he was 2/10 up in sector 1. He was hooking it up.
He was definitely on it, but in the end, it didn't actually matter because he got
pole
anyway.
No, he'd done the job anyway, hadn't he, in the first run? And yeah, nice this year for Leclerc not to crash himself onto pole position. Someone else did it for him, or two other cars did it for him.
Yeah.
Then, of course, we get to Sunday, Jamie. And the scene is set. We watch the F2. We watch Felipe Drugovich dominate another weekend. We then start to see the rain clouds just heading over the hills in towards the Monaco, well, valley, city, country.
The whole thing.
We see the whole shebang. And with about 10 minutes to go before the race, we just start to get a little bit of precipitation. And we think we are in for the spicy, this is 1996 all over again. We are going to watch Olivier Panis, and I did make sure to say his name correctly.
not Richard Hammond's version.
Not Richard Hammond's version, no. I genuinely was there going, this might... this could genuinely be the reason Monaco stays, like, justifies itself on the calendar to a lot of haters.
Yeah. And it didn't really happen. It was a bit...
No.
Yeah, the FIA put a stop to it very quickly. Which I do,
no fun.
I do completely understand, to be fair. Because obviously there's the rule where you have to have the tyres on the car 10 minutes before the race start. At 2:10 local time, it had just started raining. I don't know if you saw the live timings for effectively what was going to be the start of the race. at 3 o'clock.
Yes, time, there were like half. There were like cars four cars had gone into. Yeah.
So, given that it wasn't raining when they had to decide, some of the cars were on intermediates just in case, like proper Marcus Winkelhock. But yeah, unfortunately, they delayed the start time initially to, I think, 3:16. Basically, they last minute decided, oh yeah, we better give them another 10 minutes to change their tires in case it's going to rain. And then they did that. Did they initially start at 3:16 or was it pushed back more?
I think they waited again, I want to say. I mean, there were so many holdups, weren't there? I want to say they waited again.
They then decided that because it was a safety car to start, everyone ended up being on full wets, which they didn't really want to be on. So the FIA told everyone to go and find their wet tyres, which was very chaotic in the pit lane. They did that and then eventually got going behind the safety car. And then an absolute downpour happened. So, yeah, it wasn't ever really going to... Even if they started at 3 o'clock at that time, they would have had to stop it anyway because it was an absolute downpour.
You say that. The problem, I think what a lot of people forget though is the fact that 20 Formula 1 cars can move a whole lot of water incredibly quickly.
Yeah.
It would have been borderline, don't get me wrong, but I reckon they would have been able to carry on. And I think this was the problem, isn't it, with Formula 1, you know, like a lot of people have said, because of what's happened again. In these sorts of situations, make it so the rules are just a little bit looser, you know. Tell teams, right, you get 2 minutes, change your tyres.
Yeah, that's
going.
The thing. The 10-minute rule was the problem.
Because it's just, I mean, we had the farce at Spa last year, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I don't think any of us thought it was going to be the same this weekend because it did look like it was going to stop raining and things like that. But imagine if we got that race going at 3 o'clock, we'd say we'd had cars on, dry tyres, someone enters. You know, who was the top driver on intermediates?
I think it was the British driver. So Norris and Hamilton, I think, were on intermediates.
And not George Russell?
Not Russell, no.
Not Russell. We could have had Lando Norris leading the Monaco Grand Prix.
Hamilton might have had a chance of winning.
You would have then had all the tricky choices between going on to the full wets and the intermediates when it absolutely lashed it down. Cars would have made mistakes. Yeah. And I think what frustrates me the most about it is the fact that, you know, a lot of the time you give NASCAR some stick for the fact they can't race on ovals in the rain. They can do the same now in Formula One. They go on about the best drivers in the world, the most sophisticated cars, but any time as much as a puddle starts to form within 10 miles of a Formula One circuit, the FIA just go, no, we can't do this.
Yeah,
this is not
happening. Spend the whole thing.
It's just so frustrating.
Yeah. I do understand how difficult it must be to make those decisions, but yeah, it's very frustrating to watch.
I was watching back last night footage of Fuji 2008.
Oh, amazing.
I think it was.
07,
I think
you're thinking
needs...
of.
No, both of them.
Oh, both were wet, actually,
both
weren't they?
Both were wet races, yeah. Fuji needs to come back to Formula 1 as well, man.
Suzuka needs to come back first. Have they not been there in a while?
Well, both of them do, to be fair. They both deserve a Grand Prix because Suzuka's obviously got a lot of history. Fuji is just one of the only tracks, I think, in the world that is pretty much tailor-made for these 2022 cars.
Yeah,
you know, it's nice and wide, ground effect, huge front straight. That would be straight fire.
Yeah. Or often put out by the rain that happens
at
Fuji.
Yeah, put it in the summer then.
Well, it was always what? It was always late October.
October, November, wasn't it?
So yeah. And it was monsoon season all the time. But there we go. Yeah, the rain eventually eased. And we did get a race start, although it was a rolling start, which is always a bit sad. But there we go.
Wait, what are you saying? Now we can do standing starts in the rain and then just not do them still.
Yeah, because they literally changed the rule. Like Germany 2019 was the first time that we had the extended formation laps. Like you keep doing formation laps until you think it's dry enough to start and then you do a standing start. Why don't you do that now? Like obviously that was only one time, but it worked really well.
Yeah, and both then Alfa Romeos got completely destroyed because of it, didn't they?
Yeah, Red Bulls went from, what, second row, Gasly and Verstappen,
Verstappen was front row, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, second and fourth, wasn't it? Down to, like, nowhere on the race start for
like
some reason.
Like, 8th and 14th.
Verstappen still won, though, so it's all good. What happened to Hamilton in that race?
He got screwed.
He crashed into a wall by himself.
Actually, speaking of that, I saw a really trippy edit yesterday, Jamie. Someone has dubbed in, I want to see if I can try and find the video again. Every week I'm going to give you guys some brilliant video recommendations. Someone has done a video. It's by a gentleman called ND28RB. What if Charles Leclerc didn't save it in 2018? I'm going to send this to you now, Jamie.
Didn't save it.
So I don't forget. He did.
No, but what do you mean if he didn't save it?
If he didn't save it. Someone has edited, and I'm not sure how they did it, has edited Charles Leclerc's halo and helmet onto the Bottas footage. It is the most trippy thing in the world.
Wait, from when? I don't know what you're talking about. From
when Bottas binned it the year later, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's really odd. I've just sent it to you via Twitter, and yeah, like I said, definitely recommend watching that. It's okay. Only a 30-second clip, but it's just really weird.
Okay, well, there you go. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, the race start.
There was a Monaco Grand Prix, apparently,
yes,
this weekend.
Nothing... Yeah, obviously, rolling start. It's wet at Monaco. Everyone's going super slowly. Very impressive driver skill, but nothing much happened because they're just trying to stay on the track and no one can go past each other, obviously.
Apart from Gasly, who
until
made
it started
gamble.
Getting drier. Yeah, a couple cars. Actually, we forgot to mention Latifi and Stroll managed to find a wall on the first lap behind a safety car.
Yes, that was quite funny.
Both of them had to pit front wings. Guanyu made up two places under safety car conditions. What a goat.
Canadians shouldn't have been allowed in Formula 1 after Gilles Villeneuve left.
Not even Jacques is allowed.
Not even Jacques, no. Although Gilles Villeneuve technically leave, but you know what I mean.
Wow, okay. There we go. There's probably enough time's passed for that to be okay. But there we go. Yeah, so Canadians find barriers. Latifi basically laughs at himself, as everyone else is doing. Both pit for new front wings and wet tyres. About two laps later, once the race has actually got going, Gasly pit for intermediates. Obviously had nothing to lose. He was, 17th on the grid? So, yeah, might as well try something. The intermediates worked quite well straight away. It was...
No.
Well, he was sliding about a bit, but he was going quick.
He had a couple of scary moments.
Yeah, he did.
Say, it took a couple of laps to get in.
But he wasn't any... He wasn't, like, super slow in lap time. It was just a bit sketchy.
Yes.
And then, eventually he caught the back of the actual pack of drivers who were all on wets, which I think started with Joe and then Ricardo, who was the next one. And he actually made some overtakes at Monaco. What a guy. Very unorthodox place as well. I think Joe was into Mirabeau and then Ricardo was into the swimming pool section on the exit of Tabac, which, yeah, obviously the grip differential must have been pretty mad for him to do both of those. But even so, very impressive from Gasly at the early parts of the race.
Yes, yeah. Nice to see, there was some potential still, wasn't it? That things could get spicy.
Yeah.
But then, of course, at the moment, sort of everyone's still trying to circulate, work out what's going on. The only real battle we kind of had then, obviously apart from Gasly trying to make his way through, was for some reason Alpine just decided this weekend their sole goal, L plan, was just to screw Hamilton, wasn't it,
just
really?
Just to annoy Lewis
that's
Hamilton.
Basically
yeah.
all that happened all day. Obviously, it all started when Hamilton has a look at the inside of Ocon, because he's moved on to the Inters. He's... clearly all over the back of Ocon everywhere.
Yeah.
And Ocon, Hamilton gets the run at the inside into turn one and Ocon just turns on him and then cries for the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah, it was not the best drive from Ocon. Got a 5-second penalty. Don't know how Lewis Hamilton's wing survived, but it did. Not the best from Ocon. It was a classic, like, just turning in, not leaving any room. And yeah, it was bizarre how much he was crying about something that seemed so clear cut to everyone else.
Yeah, although...
But it did eventually cost him points.
Pretty much exact same crash as Hamilton had with Maldonado, though, down at Turn 1.
Yeah.
But
then
Hamilton
got a penalty for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird one.
And that was the maybe it's because I'm black penalty, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yeah. And, very strange time. 2011 Hamilton.
It was the only year where he didn't look... absolutely incredible in a Formula 1 car.
Well,
mainly because he spent...
Early 09 was pretty poor as well.
Yeah, but he got... I meant over the course of an entire year.
Yeah.
Him and Massa just spent the whole year just trying to still debate 2008 for some reason.
Yeah,
they?
The 3 years on, they still couldn't agree who was deserving championship. Yeah, right, but there we go. Yeah, so then after that, the reason... Like, the top four... I don't know. Obviously, I'm not a strategist, and yeah... It would be pretty awful if I was, but it was weird for me that the top four just weren't pitting for Inters for ages.
They couldn't because they were going to get stuck behind traffic.
Yeah, so Russell was in the pit window.
Yeah, Russell and Norris and I well. Think El Plan.
Yes, but yeah, I guess they could have risked it and just hoped that the same lap one of those other three pit as well, but then it would have been a bit of a risk. But yeah, basically meant that the top four were all Lina Stern staying on wet tyres for probably a bit too long.
Yes,
And I think the first to blink were the Red Bulls, both on the same lap, and Leclerc was on the same lap as well, actually. And Sainz stayed out. So it was, yeah, Leclerc and both Red Bulls pit for Inters. Came out second, third, fourth, because they waited for everyone else to pit. And Sainz at that point was like, screw it, I'm not pitting, which I quite liked. He basically told Ferrari what he was doing.
Well, he basically told him to said box. That from the start, hadn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
It was an okay Hamilton 16.
It was an okay strategy, really. Like, it obviously wasn't the fastest, but given how long the rest of the top four had stayed out on the wets, you might as well stay out at that point, really. So,
well, exactly. I mean, it's Monaco, isn't it?
Yeah.
Normal conventional strategy completely goes out the window.
Yeah, completely. So he was then leading, but Perez... Leclerc must have been in second at that point.
No, Perez jumped Leclerc.
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah,
so Perez. It was a weird race to try and follow.
It was very hard to follow because there was quite a lot going on at all times. But Perez was the driver right behind Sainz at that point, closing up really quickly, obviously, on a much better tyre. And by the time Sainz pit, it was probably maybe one lap too early for dries.
Yes, yeah.
Because Perez was like 7-8 seconds behind. And then one lap later had overcut him by doing the extra lap on Inters. So, yeah, Sainz said he got screwed by Williams by blue flags as well, but...
Latifi, yeah, just sat in front of him for a lap.
Even so, the overcut from Perez kind of showed that the Inters were still the best tyre for that one more lap, which made all the difference, really. And then the same lap that Sainz pit for dries, Leclerc also pit for dries.
Pretty much immediately after, yeah.
Yeah, Leclerc double-stacked behind and...
I think we're remembering this wrong. Sorry, no, not that bit. Leclerc was still... P2, wasn't he? It was this then that Perez jumped him.
Yes. Yes, it was. Wow. Good notes. Who wrote these? There we go. Either way, both Ferraris pit the same lap. Sainz in the lead because he hadn't stopped.
And Leclerc was livid.
And Leclerc was fuming, which I understand why, since he did everything right all weekend and then ended up fourth after the pit stop window. But that basically allowed Perez to jump Sainz, but then overcut it was an overcut, and then Verstappen also going that lap longer than Leclerc did. The Inters were faster than the drives for that lap, so Verstappen jumped Leclerc as well for third. That was kind of it for the top four. Perez now leading with Sainz in second and Verstappen and Leclerc in. It was like a reverse order from what you expect, really, but there we go.
Yes, yeah, pretty much. It was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the only other major sort of notable thing that happened between them and the red flag was just Sainz's incredible save.
Yes. Yeah.
Full opposite lock on dry tyres. Full opposite lock. Two big snaps. That in itself deserved the podium. Never, despite the fact he screwed Leclerc in the process, but still.
Yeah. Yeah, impressive from Sainz. Very much so. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Then
nothing much really.
Well, Haas then basically just did their 2020 tribute, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Like, really weirdly. So we cut to a shot of the back end of a Haas and the front end of a ruined Haas, which at that point I thought, like, the car was the other way around to what it actually was. It looked like the survival cell had just gone missing. So I was worried.
Yes, it was rather alarming, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a pretty nasty-looking crash for Mick Schumacher. But at the same time as that, it then cuts to a shot of Magnussen just somewhere in the paddock.
He's already out of the car, yeah.
And no one noticed that he retired. No one really told us why. But yeah, luckily Schumacher was fine. But again, it's another driver error. He stuck a wheel on the right line, on the wet patch going through swimming pool. I didn't think it had quite enough velocity to split a car in half. I know that's what they're meant to do with enough force, but like...
Yeah.
He did it in Jeddah as well. That was a much higher speed one, I guess. But
yeah, the Haas cars are kind of made out of paper mache, though, aren't
they?
Yeah, it
feels
like it.
It's
really odd. They always seem to just kind of split up into pieces. Which, again, like we said, you know, they are designed to do that.
Yeah.
But we're just not sure if it's meant to be at that sort of speed.
Yeah, because it can't have been much more than, like, 150 miles an hour.
It would have been less than that through there in the wet.
Yeah.
And obviously, because he had quite a bit of time to try and get the thing slowed down.
Yeah, it was a strange one. But Gunther Steiner isn't very happy with him. I don't know if you've seen that.
No.
Because all of their budget for upgrades is just being spent on repairing Mick Schumacher's car.
Well, it's just Mick Schumacher trashing the car every other week, isn't it? Bless him. I mean, the clock has already got to be ticking on Mick, hasn't it? Rather sadly.
Yeah, he's not shown much against Magnussen.
No. But that, of course, brought out the red flag.
Way too late. There was 8 laps wasted behind the safety car.
Yeah, but they already were worried about time, weren't they? So it was.
Well, if you red flag it, you pause it.
No.
Yeah, the red flag is a 3-hour timer.
When the race starts, you've then got 3 hours.
Yeah, but the 3-hour wasn't the issue. It was a 2-hour. So they wasted time on the 2-hour one going behind a safety car. They could have just red flagged it immediately and saved like 15 minutes.
But it had to be done by 5.
No, it didn't.
Because that was the original race start.
No, because they didn't start the race.
Yeah, but they started the race at like 2:15.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
So, yeah. Nothing the FIA do makes sense anymore, but they had to get the race done. So whether it was behind safety car or red flag, they wouldn't have been able to do any more racing laps either way.
Yeah, but...
I think.
It's very confusing.
We don't really
They also
know.
Got rid of our lap timer, so none of this has any laps to it, because it was just counting down for the whole race.
Yeah, it was basically just a ticking time bomb for the rest of the afternoon. Yeah. So we had a red flag, of course. It then meant all the drivers can change tyres, doesn't it, Jamie? And this was where, if this was any other track, it would have got spicy. But because it's Monaco, it didn't really change much. Because both Red Bulls restarted on mediums and both Ferraris started on the hards.
Yeah, I think the Ferraris didn't have any new mediums left. So had to go on hard tyres, whereas the Red Bulls did, just because of tyre selection stuff. Perez leading on the mediums. On the restart, he immediately flat-spotted one of them.
Why wasn't this a standing restart?
I think I know why. Because half the track was still slightly damp. So anyone on the outside of the track would have got screwed. That's just completely unfair. That's just rubbish.
Formula One's not meant to be fair.
But what you're saying is the driver in 8th should be just allowed to overtake the driver in 2nd, because that's how it goes.
Technically, further back down the grid, both sides would be screwed.
Yeah, no, what I said didn't make sense. Driver in 7th would have overtaken the driver in 2nd.
But either way, by the time you... Yeah, it would have helped some people in different spots. It would have made things interesting, is sort of the point.
It would have been a joke. And anyone with a driver on the even side of the grid would have been fuming. But they're both Ferraris were, so it would have been quite funny.
Yeah. Talking about a joke... Fernando Alonso's race pace during most of the second half of that Grand Prix. We'd already had Ocon trying to just knock chunks out of Hamilton.
Yeah.
Alonso then gets in front of him. He had been in front of him all day, to be fair, I think. And just decides he's going to cut the field in half. Let the top six run away and run three seconds off the pace for most of the afternoon. Is that L plan?
I don't think they've even said why.
He was trying to save the tyres.
But logically, they knew as a team that Ocon had the 5-second penalty by that point that he hadn't served. So, if he drove as fast as possible, the field is going to string out, and that gives Ocon more of a chance to break a gap to the guys behind, because Ocon was 9th behind Hamilton. Alonso just splitting the field in half just screwed over everyone.
I don't think Alonso could push, though, because I think they were worried about tyre wear, weren't they?
Yeah. But then Red Bulls seemed to be pushing, and they didn't have much of an issue on the mediums.
No, that's also true, but this is L plan, Jamie.
Alonso just decided that Hamilton deserved to get lapped by Russell again, so did his best to make it happen.
Yes, which was very, very weird. Then the rest of the afternoon, it was quite tense as Monaco can be, but of course nothing was really happening because of it. The only other real sort of talking points was Alex Albon retired and Zhou Guanyu also pulled off an incredible save. This time around, he did his Kimi Raikkonen impression.
Yeah, incredible save. Although he was so amazed that he wasn't crashed in a wall that he accidentally let Latifi through, trying to just let Tsunoda through.
Yes.
Which I don't know if you noticed.
I might have noticed that.
Going down towards Novell, he tried going in the inside of Tsunoda, who covered the inside line quite late, but it wasn't outrageously late, which put Zhou massively off, and he basically was going sideways down towards the Novell and somehow held it in a straight line in the battle for what would have been 15th, I think. So yeah, Very good save from Joe. And it's also his birthday today, or as we record this, yesterday.
Yes, yeah.
So happy 23rd to Guan Yu Joe.
Yeah, what well done, old man. Well done. But yeah, that then meant, though, Sergio Perez, in a shock twist, wins the Monaco Grand Prix. He therefore becomes the most successful Mexican ever in Formula One, with 3 race victories. And is now really in the championship battle, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He could easily be leading this championship. We said this after Spain.
This is very arbitrary arguments, but yes, he could be. Because you put all the what-ifs together for Perez, and yeah, he could be, but you put any of the what-ifs together for Verstappen, or Leclerc, and they'd be way clear.
Yes, exactly. But Formula One's all about what-ifs at the end
of the
day.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it will last that long, Perez's championship fight.
Red Bull will screw him.
Well, when they get back onto normal, regular tracks, Verstappen and Leclerc will just continue to drive off.
Probably. But Baku next has always been a Checo strong circuit.
Yeah, it has been, to be fair.
We'll wait and see. But yeah, the top 10, though, of course, from the Monaco Grand Prix. Perez, Sainz, Verstappen. Who would have thought the 3 cars that caused a roadblock down in qualifying would have been your podium? Leclerc, disappointed, but as every girl that'll ever go out with Jamie, they always arrive home disappointed.
Wow, okay.
After the race.
You woke up and chose violence today.
I certainly did. P5 was George Russell ahead of Lando Norris, who took fastest lap because he pit again late on, thanks to L. Payne. Alonso 7th ahead of Hamilton, Bottas and Sebastian Vettel with, Esteban Ocon. Not happy that he crashed into someone, and of course they then decided to screw him later on in the day, which I did think was quite funny.
Yeah. Hamilton backed up Ocon to make sure he didn't get any points, which I rated.
Yes, yeah. Let's go then, Jamie. Why is Sergio Perez driver of the day?
Oh yeah, it's going to be Perez, isn't it?
It is.
It's Perez or Gasly, I think. But Gasly, if he got a 10th, I'd have given it to him, but unfortunately not.
Yeah, Perez. Perez deserves it, I think.
Yeah, Perez, what, 3rd to 1st? No.
3rd to 1st?
Yeah, 3rd to 1st in Monaco. Hard to do. Yep. But he did, so fair play. Outpaced Max most of the weekend, which pains me to say. But
he did deserve the win, bless him.
Yeah.
Right, let's do the quickest ever F1 fantasy recap, Jamie.
Oh, I need to actually get it open. That's
How many points did you score this week?
I have no idea. Give me a second. I didn't make any changes, I can tell you that. I don't think I did that well. But I'm not too disappointed because everyone had Verstappen and Leclerc, so it's all right.
I didn't.
All right, I'm there. Okay. So I got 162.
Ah!
Well, you probably beat me.
Nope.
How?
154, but I got screwed.
I swear you had Perez and Sainz.
Yep. No.
How did you manage
Perez
that?
Perez and Leclerc.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Sorry. George Russell all scored good points.
Yeah.
Ferrari scored good points. And then I lost 13 because I had both Magnussen and Albon.
Oh, that's quite unfortunate, actually.
That was, a big L for me at the end
of
the day.
So I had a little Verstappen, Leclerc Turbo, Ferrari, my linchpins of my team.
Yep.
And then Alonso and Bottas actually delivered some goods this weekend.
I said they both got points, didn't they?
Yeah.
Alonso finally delivered.
Kevin Magnussen as well, which, we didn't talk about.
My team scored -4. I had Haas with negative points, Albon with negative points, both Haas drivers with negative points. Latifi would have been my best scorer with 13, but Zhou Guanyu as Turbo got 20.
Oh, what a guy.
Right, let's go through then the quickest top 10 rundown you'll ever witness.
I need to find your league. How do I get there?
Oh, I'm outside the top 1,000 again.
Oh,
4,414 of you. Thank you to everyone that has joined. Jamie, do you want me to do the Monaco top 10 rundown?
Go for it.
According to this, Larry T is 0th this week. I don't quite know how. Oh, there we go.
Definitely
it's fixed
wasn't.
Itself. No.
He's 199, but
he did get 199, yeah. So, first this week then, congratulations to Kanchana R with 317 points there. Did he mega drive Sergio Perez?
How on earth?
why does that? Like, I don't get that.
Why would you do that? I guess in practice he was
Perez
quite good.
And turboed Sainz. And then had Gasly, Alonso, Bottas and Ferrari. Fair play to you, you ballsy human. But that is the luckiest thing I've ever witnessed in this series. Emil F in P2, they're on 297. Ahead of Cameron G, Cody H, Pratham Kumar P, Finn D, Anthony B, George E, with Battery Voltas. Zilang W in ninth, and then Gavin D with Team 1 running out the top 10. They're tied with Max M. So a massive congratulations to all of you that made it inside the top 10. Apologies again, yeah, that I'm going to rush through these this week.
I feel like I'm getting worse and worse. It looks like my own team score, but never mind.
I definitely am worse this week because I'm now outside the top 1,000.
Yeah, it's not going great. But yeah, overall then, we've still got Larry T winning.
Is he still top of the world?
He's actually still got his Mega Drive available as well, so impressive.
What?
Yeah, I don't know how
he's doing it. Do we get three Mega Drivers this year?
Oh no, he has used his Mega.
Yeah, I think it's slightly.
Yeah, don't tell me I've wasted a Mega Drive already by not using it.
I don't think so.
Hopefully not.
Larry T's not top of the world. Sorry.
Oh, that's very sad. Sid V in second place with Timotheus in third. Helder M, Carlos B, Sim F, Jack S in seventh with Kevin L, Return of the Mag, the shout out to him every week, in ninth, and Latrina P in 10th place. They're all smashing us massively.
Yes.
Where I'm, 414 points off the lead.
Oh,
that's like two race weekends.
That's not good, in a word. Our personal predictions, though, Jamie. For the first time in a while, I actually equaled you this week. We both scored four, didn't we?
You know, at the start of the year, we tried to guess how many points we'd get. And you were like, if we get one thing right every weekend, I'll be happy. I'm averaging two things right every weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm smashing it, but there we go.
But we're both doing pretty well. So
I was so close. I was quite unfortunate to be only getting 4 points, I thought.
Yes, yeah.
Because my top three, I just went off the record. No, on the record, but off the rails, and said Sainz, Verstappen, Leclerc. Yep. And when Perez made that lock-up into Mirabeau...
That could have been on. If
I get Leclerc pole and the top three right, I'm just rinsing that for the rest of the time.
Yes.
But sadly, you didn't.
And I kind of got a bit lucky on the other hand. We both got 2 points for Leclerc being correct. I then got Verstappen correct, didn't I?
Yes. Yeah. But you got him behind two Ferraris when he's actually behind his teammate.
Yes.
So, yeah. Four each, which takes the totals to something that I'm winning quite easily.
Did I get four this week?
Yeah.
I'm now doubting whether I put Verstappen correct.
I think you got a Ferrari 1-2 and Verstappen. Or maybe you got five then. No, surely not.
No, I might have only got three.
Oh no.
I only got three.
Oh, it's extended the lead.
I've bottled it and I've exposed myself. I could have got away with that.
I was genuinely thinking you put Ferrari 1-2, but never mind.
No, I put Leclerc, Verstappen, Russell.
Russell, wow, you are a clown.
Yeah, okay. But I thought this could be, to be fair, what far away?
So yeah, that makes the points 29 to me and 19 to you. So.
Not fun.
10 points clear. We take that.
Right. Jamie, we are smashing through everything so far.
We are.
I can't scroll back down quick enough, though.
It's race rating.
Race rating. It's Monaco. If we were just doing this based on Monaco's alone, it would have probably been a solid 8. But because we're doing it across the board, it's getting a 5.
Yeah, it wasn't that fun. A lot of time went by with nothing. But that's what happens at Monaco.
It's Monaco at the end of the day.
I would also give it a 5.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't that unpredictable either, despite the wet weather.
No, exactly. We'll discuss more next week, I think, about, you know, where Monaco's place stands in F1, and of course then look towards the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. Just quickly, though, before we round out, big ups Marcus Ericsson, Indy 500 winner, baby. What a race that was afterwards. Did you watch any of it, Jamie?
No, I didn't.
No, I didn't think you would. It was a very, very good Indy 500, and it now means Caterham's 2014 lineup have 2/3 of Motorsport's Triple Crown.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you get 2014 Caterham, it is now equal to Fernando Alonso.
It is better than Fernando Alonso, in my eyes. Do you know the only manufacturer to win all the Triple Crown?
Lotus.
No.
Lotus did.
No.
They did. I'm...
When did Lotus win Le Mans?
1956.
They did not.
I don't know if it was a top class.
Probably not.
No, I don't think it was. Never mind. There we go.
Do you know the only...
Is it Ferrari?
No.
I don't know.
When have Ferrari ever entered IndyCar?
That's true. Yeah, why would they? Why would I have said that?
It was a Jaguar that won. Le Mans 1956.
A Lotus, what a class. I just Googled it, but I don't know what class it was. Who was it, Matt?
It is Mercedes.
Oh, of course it is. Wow. And all of their Monaco wins were lucky, apart from 2014 and 15 and 13.
Okay. Okay.
Apart from the Rosberg one, yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah. I think, though, Jamie, that's going to wrap us up, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Smashed it.
Apologies, we've kind of had to rush through a lot of stuff in the second half of the show, but that's just the way things go sometimes. Like we said, we'll kind of come back next week and give it a bit of a proper look at, won't we? Now Jamie's no longer a university student, we should have a little bit more time just to sort of get that, sort of get a bit more discussion in from the end of the weekend. But, you know, we've got to try and get the podcast out for you guys. Tuesdays, 2:30, always be here. But yeah, thank you all so much for listening as always. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure you leave a like and get yourself subscribed. And we'll be back next time round, ready to discuss a little bit more from the Monaco Grand Prix. And also, look towards Baku. Things are going to get spicy.